Hi there, club members. Welcome to this week's Lunch and Learn. Today we're talking about psychologically safe working environments and how to create one within your practice. We're going to go through what I'm talking about when I say psychologically safe working environment, how to identify the helpful steps that we can take in creating a great one so all of our team members remain happy, loyal, and wonderfully productive throughout their careers with you. First of all, let's have a quick look at where the term psychologically safe workplace came from. And it was Amy Edmondson, who is the Novartis Professor of Leadership and Management at the Harvard Business School. And she wrote this book, The Fearless Organization. And I know that when Google were doing a survey of their team members, the number one thing that their team members needed in order to perform well and be high achievers within the organization was psychological safety. So what am I talking about when I say psychological safety? Well, it is a shared belief held by all the team members that others on the team will not embarrass, reject, or punish you for speaking up. And what I mean by that is, for example, what happens in your organization if someone was to make a mistake, if you were completely stuff up, what would be the response to you? And many times it would be people would be stern with me, disappointed in me. They would make a big deal about trying to find a solution around it. And it wouldn't be a psychologically safe environment to be in. There would be an emotional cost that you would have to bear. And the same can be true if what happens if you were to raise your hand and promote an idea that you had on how to attract more new patients. Oh no, I'd be embarrassed that it wouldn't be accepted. I'd be embarrassed that it would be laughed away, that it wouldn't be deemed important enough, and that my role, I was overstepping the boundaries and it wasn't safe for me to be able to speak up. What about what would happen if you spoke up and said, I think the current system that we're using for a thing is not the most efficient, most productive way we could do it. I've got a better idea. Would you put your hand up in your environment and deliver that great idea? Or do you think, oh no, I won't, because it was the practice manager who put that original system in place. She's a bit of a control freak. So I don't think that my input would be particularly welcomed. So when we're talking about the psychological safety, we're not talking about an environment where if someone was to burst into tears, then the whole place would stop production and sit there and counsel the person that's upset. And I'm not talking about an environment where people are tiptoeing around each other's emotions and not actually being all that effective in their roles. What I'm talking about is that we want an environment where people can learn and grow, practice their roles and responsibilities so they become masters of them, make mistakes, because making mistakes is part of learning and growing. They can identify gaps in systems and efficiencies. They can bring up some tremendous ideas on how to get things done in the future, or new ideas on how to promote. And no matter what, you know your team members have your back. It is a wonderful environment to generate for your dental team. So hopefully I've enticed you to continue on with this Lunch and Learn. So what does it actually look like, an unsafe and a safe psychological environment? Well, the dangerous one is there's a fear of admitting mistakes. If you made a mistake, for example, in your dental practice and it wasn't really going to affect anybody else, would you actually put your hand up and say, this is what I've done wrong? You'd be crazy. Why? People may see you as incompetent. Give them a reason to point a finger at you. No way. So there can be a fear of admitting mistakes. There's certainly a lot of blaming of others. If something was to go wrong, the fingers are pointing. Who did that wrong? No one's happy until we've got that one person up on the stake burning. So there's a lot of blaming of others. Also, team members are less likely to share different views. And the moment that you start to put a guard up to the way you would normally interact, you start to disengage from the team. So we want to do what we can to help everybody feel as included as possible and as welcomed as possible. Also, in a negative psychological environment, allowing group dynamics to affect decision making is a big one. So we've got one micromanager, nobody suggests any great ideas because that person always likes to have the great ideas of them, all themselves. They don't like to share that stage. And so all of a sudden the group dynamics of that one's sad all the time, that one's way too happy, that one's micromanager, that one actually never follows through on anything. And it's the group dynamic that ends up determining the decisions that are made around the operations of the day, rather than having very helpful decisions constantly being made to make sure you're always providing solutions for the issues that go on during the operation of your day. So a safe environment is when everyone feels very comfortable admitting mistakes, that if they were to make a mistake, they're instantly, I've done something wrong here, can someone help me out? Rather than letting that mistake roll on, fester, be secret, and all of a sudden appear out of nowhere. And just at a practice the other day, and I jumped on the phone, organized an appointment time, because I'm not used to the computer system, I accidentally deleted a patient out of the book for a few days' time. And I said, I don't know what I've done wrong. I've deleted this appointment time. I don't know how to find them. And I put my hand up straight away and did it because, you know, it wasn't my particular role to do that. There's certainly times and in practices in the past that I would never have instantly done that. I would have instead gone, oh my God, this is a terrible thing to have happened. They're going to think I'm stupid. Let me see if I can possibly figure out a way around it myself. And of course, what happens if that mistake is never brought to anybody else's attention? And then a few days later, a patient turns up for an appointment time that's not in the appointment book. And we say, hey, you got the appointment time wrong, patient. So we want to be able to really create an environment where if anybody needs assistance, if anybody stuffs up, then they're putting their hand up straight away. And they do that because there is no emotional toll to pay. There is no cost to them doing that. Indeed, it's the absolute opposite. Their mistake is they're supported in it. Someone else may have a brilliant solution. And in my particular situation, they did. The other receptionist, for some reason, just takes a photo of the coming week so she can always refer back to it throughout the week when she's at home. And so she brought it up and there was the photo right there. There was the appointment time right there. So I could just find that person and put them straight back in again. And we that way, when we're constantly identifying mistakes early on, they get fixed early on. And then we don't have to have them crop up out of the blue later on, have to manage around that. Another element of a positively safe psychological work environment is learning from failure. That there's this embracing of the fact that we do make mistakes on our journey of learning and growing, and it takes practice and repetition to get really good at something. And so we get that. So just because you have failed in some way, we don't say, oh, that's useless, isn't it? No, we look at the benefit and say, well, that's fantastic. That's wonderful that we failed in this way, because now we can learn from this. It's so big in our brains, we're definitely going to learn from this one. Also, everyone openly shares ideas. And, you know, the brilliance that is amongst your team members in terms of how we could possibly roll out an even better patient experience than what we already are, how we could promote ourselves on social media more effectively, how we could get a local community awareness around our practice. There are so many brilliant ideas in your team members' brains. Imagine if you encouraged it, created the environment and the enthusiasm for those great ideas. They're going to be coming at you thick and fast. And so when you've got an organization that's not sharing any of these kind of ideas, make sure you are providing the environment where it's welcome to do so, making it obvious where we like that. Create the forum where they get to share that idea. And this psychologically safe environment means everyone's got your back and they're going to cheer that idea on or help you modify it so it's more applicable to your practice. Also, better innovation and decision making as well. Gosh, two heads are better than one. Many dental practices have 15 heads. Surely they're better than one as well. And so we've got a group of people who don't have to get over the emotional stuff in order to perform well, come up with solutions, solve problems, make sure that everything's rolling out beautifully and thinking naturally of ways of doing things more effectively, more efficiently, more productively. And so you've got a group of people whose brains are turned on because that's what's being rewarded, and they're getting those constant dopamine hits that, yep, even though I brought up a stupid idea, everyone still had my back. But when I bring up great ideas, they've got my back, I then see them rolled out. It's a great sense of progress and accomplishment. And so the mindset of the people that work in either of these two environments is wildly different. And it's like self-confidence. If you look at somebody with very low self-confidence, them breaking out into that learning zone of improving is rare. Yet you get somebody who's tops on self-confidence, they're out there trying new things all the time. And it's only when you try things that are different that you learn and grow. And that's the kind of environment that we really want to create within our dental practices. We want to always be getting better and better. But some of the benefits, and this is only some of the benefits of fostering a psychologically safe working environment, are team happiness through the roof, lower staff turnover, because we're all so happy, we enjoy each other so much and we feed off each other, why would I want to lose this group? Loads of great ideas from everyone. Problems get fixed really quickly. Performance improvement. This whole mindset, this whole environment that you're creating is one where everyone is trying to improve constantly. And when you've got every team member on a team consistently improving their performance, even slightly, even just 1%, that compounding effect for your dental practice is extraordinary. There's also a high degree of trust and respect amongst team members. And the patient experience, of course, the patient experience ends up benefiting wildly. They're the ones that are moving through the systems that dictate the operations of the day, and they're either finding them very easy and facilitative, or they're finding them difficult and inflexible. And so the patient experience is going to be one of the huge beneficiaries of your psychologically safe working environment that you create, and that kind of experience is one that they talk about to their friends as well. And so how do we discover what needs to change? And one of the things that I do suggest you do is go straight to the people that matter. Go to the team members themselves and say, okay, what are we doing that's great? And what are we doing that needs improvement? And those are the two best questions to ask dental patients in a patient survey. What do we do great? What do we do that we could improve upon? It's also great to ask your team members in the team management here, in the leadership here, in the kind of systems that we have. What are we doing really well that you really enjoy that you want to just see more and more of? And what do we do that you do not turn up to work for and you think, gosh, now I have to put up with that thing again, that element again? So what do we do that where we can have improvements in the way we manage those particular areas? And I've got a team member satisfaction survey, and I'll quickly break out of the PowerPoint to show you. So this team member satisfaction survey wasn't designed just for a psychologically safe work environment. I created this a little while ago, but I think it would really help if you're not getting the two questions answered really effectively of what do we do great, what could we do to improve things, then maybe getting another few questions around things to get their mindsets right around what you're trying to ask could be a useful thing. You could just email this. You could make this a Google form and email the link out to all of, or SMS the link out to all your team members. Have a finished date that you'd like to get everyone's responses back. They can either identify themselves on the form or not. What you want is the information, not necessarily who delivered it to you. And these are some of the questions that I have on this team satisfaction survey. This is attached to your Lunch and Learn today, but it's always available as a free download on the website as well. So, do you enjoy your current role within the practice? If no, what elements would you change? Do you feel well supported by your team members? Do you have any concerns about the manner with which the team operates? Do you feel comfortable with developing your relationship with clients? If you had a concern about working in your current environment, when would you speak up? Do you receive acknowledgement and praise from your co-workers and superiors? Have you ever made a mistake? If yes, describe what happened and how the team reacted. Are you interested in further your training within your current role? Are you interested in changing roles in the future? If yes, what role would you change to? What areas are a source of negative feelings for you? And what areas are a source of positive feelings for you? What is the ideal method to train you? That is, how can I approach you to modify an action in a way that brings the best out of you? Then thank you for your feedback. So those questions on that questionnaire, they relate more than just to the psychological safe work environment. It's a really lovely snapshot of where any of your team members are at a particular time. And I always do suggest to send that out every year at the very least, just to, or even if you don't want to send out the formal survey, have a few of those questions in your mind. So next time one of your team members are free and available, have a sit down, have a quick 10-minute chat and ask them a few of those questions. Sometimes the survey is better, or a team environment is better, because they can be a little bit more frank and because they're part of the whole group. But as you go, people will become more frank and more candid in their answers and more brave to say, yes, this is uncomfortable to hear it, but this is what I've got to say, because you are creating this safe working environment. So in the future, if not today, but at subsequent meetings, you will find people becoming more and more open and honest because they're feeling safe to do so. So certainly go straight to the source. Ask your team members. They're the ones that are experiencing the good and the bad. So find out from them what's going on for them. Now, once you've got a whole list of things that you have think, oh, these are the wonderful things about our team environment that we want to keep and maintain, and these are the areas that we really want to tackle and start getting some different ways of responding to. And I've got the picture there of the fantastic Sandy Roth, because Sandy Roth is, she's an American woman. I think she's either retired or semi-retired now. Her husband's a dentist. She used to be a police officer, and then she was a psychologist for years as well. And she was a bit of a dental guru for me in terms of patient communications and team communications as well. And I absolutely loved her. And there is a series of questions that she has asked, and I think they are very applicable here, just to get everybody on the same page when it comes to what are we trying to achieve here. The first question is, where have we been? Now, this question was never really relevant in my eyes until a recent client of mine. And this recent client of mine, they'd been through a partnership breakdown of two partners within the one business, and it had been very difficult. And so their where have we been was before the partnership breakdown, before everything turned a little bit art. And that was a key question, because some of the elements and the behaviors that they had as a team in that old practice were things that never transposed into the new practice way of things, because there was a bit of a team mix up, and you know, some stayed with the old member and some people came with the new practice, and so because there was a bit of a shake up, some of these wonderful habits were broken. And so that where have we been was a very relevant question to them. So I do certainly keep it in there. Where have we been, if there were really great or really terrible things back in the past within that practice? Where are we right now? And the where are we right now might be, well, right now, these are the issues that the team members have given us through the survey. These are the issues that they want addressed, and these are the great things that they want to keep in our practice. Where do we want to be? And so that's where you go, okay, well, this is where we are right now, but now let's break open our brains and let's imagine our ideal team dynamic, our ideal team culture, the way we get things done here, the way we interact and behave with one another here. Let's really be clear about where we want to be, and then we can reverse engineer that and go, how are we going to get there? If that's where we're going to end up, what are we doing? Can we project our brains forward and have a look at what we're doing, how we're responding to things, how we're talking with each other, how we're getting things done, how we're moving through the operation of the day? And when we look at that, we can then start to identify, how are we going to get there? Oh, we need systems for this and that. Oh, we need to communicate more regularly as a team. Oh, we need to have better whatever. But you can start to identify how you're going to get there through that reverse engineer process. Very helpful. And this next question is one of my faves. What role will each one of us play in getting there? So quite often it's easy peasy to determine what the goal is. Where do we want to be? Easy peasy. How are we going to get there? Sure, we can do that too. Here's a whole bunch of actions that we can take to get there, to make sure that we're shifting our behavior from where it is right now to that behavior. We get that. But then quite often it stops put there. And then we find ourselves all, you know, wandering around going, nothing's really changed. We had that big brainstorming session around our team culture, but nothing's really changed. And that's because we haven't identified clearly enough what role each one of us will play in getting to that goal. How does my behavior need to change? How do my responses to my team members need to change? What additional systems, if you're going to all of a sudden start doing a morning huddle, what role will we play in the morning huddle? And so answering that question of what role will each one of us play in getting to this wonderful, psychologically safe working environment is a crucial step. And so some of the questions you can ask yourself can form your team agreements that you have moving forward. And they are things like, let's agree, let's discuss and agree on how we are going to respond to mistakes. So right now we've identified that no one puts their hand up if they make a mistake because they're terrified, because we've got a micromanager control freak on our hands. So let's have a think about, how do we want to respond to the mistakes? If I make a mistake, how would I want people to respond around me? To help me straight away, to pat me on the back and say, oh, it's okay, don't stress, we all make mistakes. So when we start to identify this is exactly what we're going to do in response to someone making a mistake, you can form that as a team agreement together. We all agree to move forward down this particular path. How are we going to manage a diminishing performance? So if someone is developing a bad attitude, or they start coming in late, or they start being quite down in the dumps, how are we going to manage that? Let's put ourselves in the position of that team member and think, how would I best respond? To what sort of response would I most likely come and meet everybody there in that space and start to perform to my best again? How can we deliver praise? This is a big one. Maybe some people are not quite sure how to deliver praise to each other. And that's a big part of creating this psychologically safe working environment, because we want to be constantly rewarding the behaviors we want repeated. So we need to learn how to deliver praise. How can we deliver praise? Well, rather than watching someone do something great and going in our heads, they're doing that great. Maybe we can actually say that out loud. You're doing that great. I love what you're doing there. Maybe we can have a whiteboard in the staff room where people are making positive acknowledgements of great team performance. And so at the morning huddles, then we're mentioning those at the very start to get everybody off on the right foot. Maybe we're going to deliver praise by when we have the regular performance reviews. We are going to make sure we have 10 things you do great and only 2 things to improve upon. And that's not because we're trying to be gentle and soft with each other. That's because rewarding behavior that you want repeated works. And also, no person can manage 10 different points of improvement from a performance review and be highly successful in it. It's always much nicer to have just 1 or 2. How are we going to celebrate our wins? Sometimes a bad team dynamic or an unhelpful team dynamic can come about because we're celebrating our wins by hitting the town, getting plastered, and everyone starts to nitpick at each other. So just have a think about, how are we going to celebrate our wins that we all find really encouraging and motivating and fun and celebratory? Let's make sure that we're doing it well. So start gathering a whole bunch of team agreements about, and you develop them from, we do this particularly well, so let's formalize that as an agreement, or we do that particularly badly, let's identify the better way to do it and then form an agreement around that too. A mistakes policy is a fantastic step forward, and this is the one that Charles and I have ripped off from a little bit from 3M, not 3MSB, but 3M over in America. There's a bit of it from that, but then we've added a little bit ourselves too, but we love it. Mistakes are a sign of having tried. We forgive honest mistakes that are made in the pursuit of legitimate practice goals. We learn from mistakes and they become part of our collective knowledge. Mistakes born of negative attitude are not to be repeated. So you may actually bring in a mistakes policy, get everyone's agreement. Maybe they sign a piece of paper that has that written on there as a way of committing to this is how we manage mistakes in this practice from now on. So how do we change our personal behavior? Because we are talking about changing our behavior within that team environment. Number one, we need the reminder. If we don't get the reminder, the level of importance and urgency something has diminishes very rapidly over time. And so I suggest if you're in a management role, have it in your online calendar every morning, an alert, 8 o'clock in the morning. Remember, we're focusing on mistakes policy this week. Remember, we're focusing on looking at people without any judgment this week. We're just going to be learning from them instead, learning how better to manage them instead. The morning huddle is another fantastic time to develop the reminders. Remember, we're not changing 10 things. We're changing one thing at a time. And depending on how complex that one thing is, maybe it'll take a week of reminders about that one thing in the morning huddle to start getting it in people's brains. Maybe it's a bigger one and it's going to take a month. But keep those reminders going until you shift that behavior. Have a growth mindset. A limited mindset is not going to help anyone in this situation because we need to be able to step outside of what we normally do. And to do that, we need to have that growth mindset. So do approach this kind of shift and change with a growth mindset. And practice, modify, practice. And quite often I say practice, repeat, practice. But with this sort of thing, when we're shifting our behaviors, I say practice, modify, practice. And what that means is don't expect yourself to get it right from the start all the time. Roll out that attempt at that new way of responding to someone's mistake, for example. And then once you've finished that interaction, step back and go, was that in line with what we're trying to achieve? How could I have done that a little bit better? I could have been more gentle with the sense of urgency I had around it. I could have pulled back on that a little bit. So next time that happens, rather than say, oh my gosh, you made a mistake, no worries, it's no big deal, but we must fix it straight away, I'll instead say, oh, you made a mistake, that's no worries. As long as we get that fixed by the end of the day, everything's going to be fine. And so you play act in your brain or physically what that modification is. And so the next time you do it, you are more likely to have the modified way of doing something when you're called upon to do it. And that's where practice, modify, practice is enormously powerful in your self-development. How do we change others' behavior, other team members' behavior? Number one, if you are finding somebody is really not responding to the mistakes policy the way that you've been reminding the whole team to every morning huddle, bring that person into a meeting and just say, look, I've noticed these two specific occasions where you didn't roll out the new response that we've agreed to have in terms of a mistake, in response to a mistake. Then we're going to remind them of the new expectations, a goal. Remember, we had this team agreement, and the reason is we want to get to this wonderful, safe, psychologically safe working environment. So remember what the goal is. And so then we offer the more appropriate response. We're not going to make them feel ridiculous and stupid for not adopting this new change. We're going to then, if they can't themselves or together we can, find the more appropriate response. Given that same scenario, and that we're trying to hit this goal, what do we think the better response could have been in the moment? And discuss it together in a nice, calm, friendly, supportive way. And then ask for feedback. Do you think that's going to be groovy? Do you see any barriers to you doing that? And then, of course, support moving forward. If you then see them respond positively to that direction, call them up on it straight away. I see what you did, and that's exactly what I mean. That's perfect. Thank you for doing that. So support moving forward. And if they're not doing it, bring them back in and use the specific scenario. Remind them what the new expectations and goals are. Offer a more appropriate response and then ask for feedback and support them moving forward. Just keep repeating that. And that's bringing that person to an accountable space where they will shift their behavior or move on out of your practice if they don't like the way you work anymore. I hope that was a helpful lunch and learn for you. Creating a safe, psychologically safe working environment has enormous benefits for each individual in the team as a whole, and ultimately to the patients that are moving through your practice. Good luck with it. If you have any issues, if you have any questions, please contact me anytime. Otherwise, I look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks. Bye.